Tonight is Tuesday night, April 30th. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. Due to the fact that tomorrow night is the communal Yom HaShoah share, Yom HaShoah get together, the share is tonight. Okay, we're going to do a topic that is directly related to everybody in the room except me. Question is, are women obligated to participate in the counting of the Omer or not? I know that a lot of women have taken on the practice, but we're going to analyze tonight whether or not they're actually obligated or exempt, but they choose to do so as they do other mitzvot aseh shehazman gerama. So we're going to start with Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch. He is the primary commentator on Shulchan Aruch for these types of halachot. So he writes. In the last line of that bracketed unit, it says in the fourth word, "Nashim piturot misfira." Women are exempt from the mitzvah of Sirata Omer. Dehevei mitzvat asei shehazman grama. It's a positive commandment that is somehow framed or bound by time. And logic would dictate that it certainly is. It takes place only from the 16th day of the month of Nisan through the 5th day of the month of Sivan, the 7 weeks when we count the Omer. So, there's no mitzvah to count the Omer Purim time. There's no mitzvah to count the Omer Sukkot time. So since it has a time restriction, under those circumstances, it would appear that it is a mitzvah taseh shezman grama, and as you well know, the rule is women are exempt. Umihu, however, he writes, kvar shavyuha alayhu chova. They have accepted it upon themselves as being obligatory. We're on page number one. We had a bracketed, did you see that? Eleanor, you got it?
No.
In that bracketed, the last line, there are four lines in that bracketed, the last line, which says, Nashim Pturot, fourth word of the last line.
Okay, got it.
Okay? So, this phenomenon of someone obligating themselves, despite the fact that there is no obligation to do so, is a phenomenon that impacts men as well. For example, the Gemara tells us that there is a debate whether Tfilat Arvit, Ma'ariv, is a chova or a reshut. Are you obligated to daven Ma'ariv or you're not obligated to daven Ma'ariv? And we happen to accept the halacha that Tfilat Arvit is reshut. It's an option. If you want to daven, you daven Ma'ariv. You don't want to daven, you don't daven Ma'ariv. That's the way the Gemara concludes, and that's the way Rambam formulates the halacha. However, the Rif, one of the other commentaries, writes that Klal Yisrael has it accepted upon themselves as an obligation. Today, I've never gone to a community where they don't have Maariv, and only individuals. It's basically accepted as the equal of Shacharis and Mincha, even though, technically speaking, Tfilat Arvit is not an obligation, and we say it's only Rashut. That is why there are certain pronounced differences as a result. For example, there is no repetition of the Shmona Esrei at Maariv. We repeat the Shmona Esrei during Shacharit, we repeat the Shmona Esrei during Mincha, but we never repeat the Shmona Esrei at night for Maariv. So if you remember, I'm sure all of you are in Shul called Nidrei night, so we've done Maariv, but we do not repeat the Shmona Esrei. The repetition of the Shmona Esrei was designed initially to discharge the obligation of people who can't read the text. So they would fulfill their obligation by listening to the repetition of the Shmona Esrei by the Shliach Tzibur in the presence of nine other people. So by Maariv, where there is no obligation, They did not institute making a chazarat hashatz. Because even if you didn't daven ma'arif, nishkeferlich. After all, it's not an obligation. So here too, women are exempt from the mitzvah of counting the omer, but they've accepted it upon themselves. Accepted it upon themselves. There are other mitzvot that women have accepted upon themselves also. Listening to Parsha Zachar. Right? According to many authorities, women are not obligated to read Parsha Zachar, but they've made an effort, they make an effort, that's, you know, to do so. That's what the Magen Avraham says, and that happens to be what is considered standard fare in the halachic dialogue. If you go to page 2, making it nice and simple, the pages are numbered properly, no ball players, just numbers 1 through 10, whatever it is. And this is the Mishnah Brura commenting on that. I bracketed the wrong one. Just look at further up where it says Gimel. The Gimel. Three lines above where I bracketed. Matchilin lispor. V'nashim v'avadim pturot mi mitzvah zu. Dehevei mitzvat asei shehazman grama. V'katav hamagen Avraham. We just read the Magen Avraham. Miu, however, kvar shavya olayu chova. The women have accepted this as an obligation upon themselves. How many of you would you say your mothers made a regular basis out of count by counting the omer? Yeah? Okay. Yeah? Okay. I would say that most women at that generation did not. Did not. I think today it's much more prevalent. But the Mishnah Brura says, that was the Magen Avraham. And Mishnah Brura writes, who's writing at the beginning of the 20th century, after all the Mishnah Brura lived a long time, the Chavetz Chaim, he died in 1933, ukimidumeh, and it appears to me, says the Mishnah Brura, Mimdinotenu, in our country, meaning in Radin, which was part of Poland, lo nohagi nashi klal lispor. Women, their custom was never in our community to what? To count. Okay. V'kosav b'sefer Shulchan Shlomo, and now he quotes this book called Shulchan Shlomo, never heard of it before. That's part of the Mishnah Brura's style. He collects a lot of opinions and he just lets you know what they said. The Al-Kolpani, even if they do decide to count, lo yivarchu, they should not make a bracha when they count. Now, I'm apologizing in advance for the reasons that he's going to give. It's downright insulting. But I'm just telling you, that's what he says. Why does he say they shouldn't make a bracha? The habivadai yitu b'yom echad. They're no doubt going to mess it up, and they're going to make the bracha on a wrong day. Of course they're going to make a bracha. V'gam al pi rov, the majority, einam yodin perush hamilot. They don't know what the word Hayom achad asar yom shehem shavu achad v'arba yamim lomer means. They don't know what it means. Okay. Doesn't really say any place that you have to know what it means if you say it in Hebrew. But it's a poor excuse, and perhaps in the generation in which he lived, he might be correct. Today, neither of these arguments have any compelling merit. And as a result, if you should, and hopefully you do, count, and I'm sure most of you, all of you do, you make a bracha like everybody, like every other mitzvah that you would perform when you're not obligated to do so. After all, to my knowledge, nobody in this room is of Sephardic descent. Sephardim follow the Rambam and never recite a bracha on a mitzvah which you are not obligated to observe. Never. So when my daughter, who's married to a Sephardi, wonderful young man, when she takes her lulav and etrog on Sukkot, she does not make the bracha al natinas lulav. Because that's what the Sephardim believe. That in order to make a bracha, you have to be obligated. And when the word vitzivanu appears in the bracha, it refers to the person making the blessing. We Ashkenazim believe that vitzivanu refers to Klal Yisrael as a whole. But Sephardim interpret it that way. And therefore they don't make a bracha. But if you're an Ashkenaz, there is absolutely no reason not to make a bracha on counting the Omer. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. But he certainly agrees with the Magen Avraham that it is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Moving on to page number 3, I want to show you a startling Ramban. Startling Ramban. Who comments on a Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin. On page number 3, last line, is a Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet in Masechet Kiddushin. And the Mishnah says, Kol mitzvat asei shehazman grama, vav chavav, means etc., etc. That's just a quotation of the Mishnah, Nashim Pturot. Any mitzvah which is zman grama, women are exempt. Tanu Rabbanan. Now the Gemara cites a brighter. Ezehu mitzvah taseisha zman grama. Can you give me a few illustrations about a mitzvah taseisha zman grama? Answers the bright. Sukkah. Sukkah is zman grama. It's only 7 days. So you are not obligated to sit in the sukkah. Lulav. You're not obligated to take a lulav. It's only 7 days. Shofar. You're not obligated to hear the shofar. It's only 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Vitzitzis. You are not obligated to wear tzitzis. Why is tzitzis a mitzvah taseh shezman grama? Only during the daytime. No obligation to wear tzitzis at night. The Gemara continues on page 4. Utfilin. Utfilin. Tfilin is also a mitzvah taseh shezman grama. Same reason. Because we don't wear tfilin at night. And we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it's not, it has fixed times for its performance. Ve'ezehu mitzvah taseh shelo hazman grama. What might be illustrations of a mitzvah taseh, a positive command, that is not at all framed or bound by time? Mezuzah, affixing a mezuzah on the door, that's got nothing to do with time. If there's a door, you got to put a mezuzah on. Ma'akeh, that is a roof, a fence around a flat roof. Or if somebody has a pool, for example, and they have to keep kids out, that's mitzvah saseh, to put in a fence. Aveda, returning a lost object, is a mitzvah saseh. Right? The heishiv et ha'aveda, is supposed to return it. Vishiluach hakein, and sending away the mother bird when you come to a nest, if you would like to take the chickies, what do? Shaleach tishalach et ha'aim, ve'et habanim tikach loch. It has nothing to do with time, and therefore those are mitzvot asei shehazman, shelo hazman grama, and women are obligated. Now, the Ramban is going to deal with the issue on page 5 as to whether or not the Mishnah which we and the Gemara which we just read was a all-encompassing list or not. Are there other illustrations besides that which the Gemara just listed? And if you go to page 5, it's the last paragraph. The Heve Yodea, I would like you to know, The High Tanna, the author of the Mishnah and Braita we just read, Tani Hachi Ketani. This is the way he said it. Eizo hi mitzvot aseh shezman grama, kigon sukkah, etc., etc., etc. The eizo hi mitzvot aseh shelo zman grama, kigon mizuzah, etc., etc., etc. V'tana v'shier, tana v'shier. That's a very famous phrase in the Talmud. Namely, shier means left over, left out. In other words, there are certain lists in when they list certain times when it's what? All-inclusive, all-encompassing. And if something is not on the list, you have a right to assume that the category which is being discussed does not apply to that item. At other times, lists are not all-inclusive. And just because it does not appear on that list does not mean that other examples will not fill into that category. Says the Ramban, this Mishnah and Braita is a non-inclusive, they give four or five illustrations, but neither of them are comprehensive. V'tana v'shiyer. B'mitzvas aseh shazman grama, shiyer tfilin. Okay, the Ramban, our text has tfilin, but the Ramban, apparently, his manuscript didn't have tfilin. So for an example of a mitzvah aseh shazman grama, the Mishnah left out tfilin, the chsiv behedya, the pturos, where it says black on white that women are patur. In fact, it happens to be part of the source which teaches us that women are exempt from mitzvot aseh shezman grama. One of the places where we learn it from, it's a combination of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and tefillin. V'ina misavar ein hazman grama. And if you wanted to talk about mitzvot aseh she'ein hazman grama, shi'er, he also left out a lot of examples of a mitzvah which women are obligated in, despite the fact, because of the fact that it's not zman grama. For example, ri'iyah. Ri'iyah. Mazer ri'iyah. Good. Shalosh pamim bashana. Yeira'eh, to make an appearance three times a year in Yerushalayim. Ubemitzvah sasein asman grama shir tuva. Many others he left over. Mora v'kavod, the fact that you're obligated to provide mora and kavod to a parent or to a rebbe. That's a positive commandment. It's not bound by time, and women are obligated. Bichorim, the mitzvah of Bichor. When you have a Bichor, you're obligated to redeem them. There's no time limit. We do it after 30 days. But if you didn't, it's the rest of the person's life. Vichala, and a mitzvah which you perform regularly, to be mafresh challah. That has nothing to do with time. When you bake, when you knead a dough of a certain volume, you are obligated to be mafresh challah. Reishit hagez, the clippings of the first wool, when you shear wool, the mitzvah is you have to give it to the kohen. That's not bound by time. Matanot, other gifts that are given to a kohen. And here comes the slammer, Sfirat HaOmer. Sfirat HaOmer. That the counting of the Omer is in the list of mitzvot aseh she'ein hazman grama. She'ein hazman grama. And every Rishon and Achron who saw these words of the Ramban said, this has got to be a mistake. This has got to be a mistake. It's impossible. It's impossible that women should be obligated because it's a mitzvah aseh she'ein hazman grama. It's impossible. This has got to be a mistake. It's called ta'ut sofer. Ta'ut Sofer. It's a mistake of the printer. There must have been something else. He just made a mistake because it's impossible. In fact, Rabbi Schechter, in his many works about the Rav, that's how he quotes the Rav. The Rav said, yeah, it's a mistake, end of discussion. So when I read a lot of Rabbi Schechter's sermon, if I heard something else from the Rav, I quickly take out a letter, I write him a letter saying, you know, I heard the Rav say it a little different, and then the next volume he publishes it. So he has a lot of my stuff in his various volumes, but I heard something differently. And I'll tell you what the Rav said a little later. But the Ramban here seems to say that that it's not a mitzvah taseh shezman grama. And for those who want to maintain the Ramban, there are several theories why the Ramban would have said this particular statement. One of them is based on page number 6. Number 6 is going to be by way of an illustration from the pasuk that I bracketed. There are certain names, nicknames, that the Torah has given to a variety of festivals. So some have no names at all, according to the Torah. For example, the name Rosh Hashanah doesn't exist in the Torah. You know what the name of Rosh Hashanah is in the Torah? Echad l'chodesh hashvi. It's the first day of the seventh month. Tishrei is the seventh month. Let's name it a holiday. There is no date given there whatsoever. Yom Kippur is called Yom Kippur in the Torah. Sukkot is called Sukkot in the Torah. Pesach is in the Torah. But Pesach is not the way the Torah refers to the holiday day 1 through day 7. Never calls those 7 days Pesach. The only day that is called Pesach is Erev Yom Tov. That's the holiday of Pesach in the Torah. Because that's the day you bring the Korban Pesach. The rest of the 7 days are identified in the Torah as Chag HaMatzot. Every single time. At Chag HaMatzot Tishmar. Never calls it Chag HaPesach. Except when it's talking about Erev Yom Tov on the 14th. So Shavuot is on some occasions called Chag HaShavuot. Yes, that is true. But in Bamidbar chapter 28, which is the section from which we read the Maftir every single Yom Tov, there appears another name of the Yom Tov of Shavuot, and it's called, as you see in Pasuk Chavav, Ubiyom Habikurim Bahakrivchem Mincha Chadasha Lashem. A day when you bring a special korban unto God. Does anybody know the name of that special korban that is brought on the Yontav of Shavuot? What do we call that korban? Shtei Halechem. The two breads. It's the one of two korbanot that are brought in the Beit HaMikdash as chametz, the shtei alechem and the korban todah. All other breads that are brought in the Beit HaMikdash as a korban are brought as matzah. So every korban mincha that you bring, every korban that you bring in the Beit HaMikdash has an additional mincha. U'minchatam v'niskehem kimidubar. The korban mincha is all matzah throughout the entire year, with the exception of a korban todah and the shtei alechem. Now, why does the Torah call Shavuos the Yom HaBikurim? Why? Because that's when you start to bring Bikurim. You are obligated to bring Bikurim from first day of Shavuot until after Sukkot. And if you bring it in that time frame, not only do you bring, but you fulfill a secondary mitzvah called Mikra Bikurim. You read a certain portion of the Torah when you get to the Beit HaMikdash. We just read that portion in the Haggadah. Arami Oved Avi is in the Parsha of Bikurim. And it's read every time you come to the Beit HaMikdash. If you bring after Sukkot until Hanukkah, under those circumstances, you bring the Bikurim, but you don't read the accompanying portion. So Shavuos is called Ubiyom HaBikurim. Now the halacha is that one day you will own a field in Eretz Yisrael, you will own fields. In Rehovot someplace, somebody here will be having thousands of oranges growing, and you'll be obligated to bring your first orange to the Beit HaMikdash and bring it to the Kohen. Bring it to the Kohen. Now, would you say that Bikurim is a mitzvah saseshes man grama or not? I just told you the time frame. So is it zman grama or not?
Yes.
Good, that's what you would say. Thank you for falling into my trap. Thank you.
It was listed.
Thank
it was listed here as one that the women...
Bikurim? No, it did not say. It said Bechorim.
Oh, Bechorim, I didn't
speak. Oh, no. Bikurim. So why is Bikurim not... why is it not a mitzvah seshes man grama? Because time doesn't trigger its obligation. What triggers its obligation? The korban that is brought in the Beit HaMikdash on Shavuot. When you bring the korban, that triggers the obligation to bring Bikurim. Look at the text. Look at that text again. Ubiyom HaBikurim. When? Behakrivchem mincha chadasha l'Hashem. When you will offer that new korban. And why is it called new? Because it comes from the new grain. The new wheat, the first wheat that is harvested in Eretz Yisrael has to be brought as a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called Shtei Alechem. So, therefore, what triggers the obligation to observe the mitzvah Bikurim is not a time factor, but the bringing of the korban. Therefore, Bikurim is not considered a mitzvah asay shehazman grama. It is not. And hence, women are obligated to observe a mitzvah, the mitzvah Bikurim. Similarly, let's skip number 7 for a minute. If you go to page 8, so look at Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and Tetvav. Look at those four. Just read them simple Chinese, very simple Hebrew. Tell me what the psukim are saying. Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet, you can say in 1-2 sentences, and 1 or 5 words, and then you have in Tetvav. So tell me, what is the Torah doing there? What is the Torah describing in Yud Aleph, Yud Bet? What triggers the counting of the Omer according to what the Torah writes?
The Korban.
Correct. What's the name of the Korban? Korban Omer. The first of the barley are offered on the second day of Pesach, 16th day of the month of Nisan. And when you bring the Korban Omer, and now in Pasuk Tetvav, the Torah says, Usfartem lachem mimacharat haShabbat, you start counting on the day after Yom Tov, miyom havi'achem et Omer Hatanufa.
Right, but does that imply that if there was if nobody brought the Korban HaOmer, you wouldn't have to count?
Correct.
Really?
In fact, virtually all commentaries, almost all of them, believe that today there's no mitzvah to count Yom. It's only a midrabanan zecher lamikdash.
Right.
Most authorities believe that. The only one who doesn't, or one of the people, is the Rambam. The Rambam believes that the counting of the Omer, even today, in the absence of the Mikdash, is a biblical commandment, and it's not linked. But everyone else disagrees with the Rambam. And in fact, does anybody remember a phrase that is recited after the recitation of the Omer? What do we say? Why do we say that? Because it's a remembrance of Churban Beit HaMikdash. Churban Beit HaMikdash. So the so therefore some claim, just as women are undoubtedly obligated to bring bikurim, because it is not, even though it's observed only partial part of the year from Shavuos to Hanukkah, nonetheless the time frame is not a time frame, it just happens to be on Shavuos. Why? Because they brought the Korban Shtei Alechem. That's what triggers it. The day before, you don't bring Bikurim, because the Shtei Alechem hasn't been brought yet. So too, the Korban Omer is what triggers the obligation to begin the count. Not the fact that it's the second day of the Yom Tov of Pesach. It has nothing to do with the Yom Tov of Pesach, according to most authorities. Nothing to do with the Korban, with the Yom Tov of Pesach. B'mikre, the 16th day of the month of Nisan, happens to be the second day of Pesach. But the second day of Pesach has nothing to do with the Korban Omer. What obligates us to bring and then count the Omer is the Korban, Hava'ata Korban. As the pasuk itself says, "Miyom havi'achem et Omer hatnufa." Part of the, when you brought that barley grain, it was lifted up. That's what's called tnufa. It was picked up by the kohen and waved in all directions. So, due to the fact that the trigger is not a time factor, some explain the Ramban. That's what he had in mind. Why did the Ramban list the Omer as not being Zman Grama? It's a mitzvah to say She'ein HaZman Grama. Answer, based on the fact that it is not a time sequence, it happens to be triggered, just as Bikurim is triggered with a Korban in the Beit HaMikdash. The Korban triggers its obligation. I'll give you another obligation, which many claim is a parallel. Are women obligated to be Mekadesh the moon, Kiddush Levana, after every Rosh Chodesh? So some say no. Because when are you obligated? It's only between the fourth and the 15th day of the month. Before the fourth, we don't say Kiddush Levana because it's hard to see the moon. And then after the 15th, we don't say the Kiddush Levana anymore. But many claim it's women, and therefore women would be exempt. Many claim women are obligated. Why are they obligated? Because it's not the time. What triggers the obligation? The new moon. The renewal of the moon. Just so happens the renewal of the moon starts on the 1st and can only be seen by the 4th. And by the 15th, it's no longer renewal because it's already waning, so it's a moon in regression, not in waxing and growth. So therefore, women are obligated because it's not necessarily zman grama. So this is an important principle to remember if this is the correct explanation of the Ramban. Why does Ramban say tomorrow when you go shopping? Don't ask the register, people at the register, but ask anybody else standing online. Did you know that the Ramban said that women are obligated to count the Omer because it's not a mitzvah tasei shezman grama? You're blown away. The Ramban is found in Kiddushin Lamed Dalet, just in case they ask you wherever it is. Kiddushin, Daf 34a. So this is a possible one explanation why the Ramban may have said what he said. In other words, it's triggered by something else other than time. Now, not everybody agrees with this principle, that the Omer is not linked to Pesach, it's linked only to the Korban. Not everybody agrees with that. And I'm going to show you who doesn't agree with it. If you go to page 9 for a minute, this is also a very famous question. Tell me which brachot did we make when we read the Megillah? What brachot did we make when we read the Megillah? What else? And we made Shachar Nisan, which is not relevant. We made a Shechayana. On the first day of Sukkot, when you pick up a lulav, you say Al Netilas Lulav and Shechayana. When you lit candles every night of Yom Tov, except for the last two nights of Pesach, but every other night that you light candles, two nights of Rosh Hashanah, nine nights of Sukkot, two nights of Pesach, two nights of Shavuos, Yom Kippur. In addition to Lahadlik Ner Shel Yom Tov, you also what? Say Shechayana. So the Baal HaMor asks the question, why is it that we don't say a Shechayana on counting the Omer? We recited a Shechayana during Kiddush at the Seder, and that covered Matzah and Maror, all the mitzvot that we eat. When we blow shofar, we make a Shechayana. When we eat in the Sukkah, we make a Shechayana. So why don't you make a Shechayana first time you count the Omer? That's the question on the top of the page. Ubistirat ha'omer, yesh shisho alim, ma tam ein anu omrim bozman. Why is there no bracha of Shechayana that night? Now I'm just going to tell you what he answers. He believes that, as we just said 5 minutes ago, that the mitzvah of counting the Omer today is only a derabanan zecher lemikdash. And it's not a zecher lemikdash like other zichronot lemikdash. For example, according to Torah law, how many days are you obligated to take the lulav? Only the first day. In the Beit HaMikdash, you take it all 7 days. So we, as to commemorate the practice in the Mikdash, we take it 7 days. But what aspect are we remembering the Mikdash? We're remembering the way the mitzvah was done in the Mikdash. So it's not a zecher to commemorate the destruction of the Mikdash. It's quite the opposite. It's a zecher, a memorial, to remember how a mitzvah was done in the Mikdash. Same thing when we eat Korech. We don't remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash when we eat Korech. What do we say? Zecher LeMikdash Kehillah. Kein Asa Hillel. We try to remember and do life exactly the way Hillel did it in the Beit HaMikdash. The counting of the Omer is not designed, according to the Baal HaMor, to remember the way the mitzvah was done in the Beit HaMikdash. It's a remembrance of the fact that the Beit HaMikdash is currently destroyed. And one thing that supports it is that there is an opinion in the Gemara, I didn't bring that source, that in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, we count weeks and days. Like last night you said, Hayom Asara Yamim, Shehem Shavua Echad Ushlosha Yamim La'omer. That's what you said last night. Today, many authorities say, you only say Hayom Asara Yamim La'omer. You count only the days, but not the weeks. Okay, it's not our custom, but many do. Why? To demonstrate that the mitzvah is not whole. When is it obligatory to count days and weeks? Well, the Beit HaMikdash is around.
Who does that?
The Gemara offers one of the Amoraic sages who did that. And many will show me. Today, no one that I know is there. But I'm just bringing it as evidence. So therefore, says the Baal HaMor, the mitzvah of counting the Omer has a sad note to it. Shehecheyanu is only recited on happy occasions. Never on a sad note. Never on a sad note. It's always, always, always associated with an element of simcha. The simcha that you've made it from last year to live to observe another Yom Tov. The simcha that you went and got a good buy at a store and you bought a beautiful outfit. That's when you make a Shehecheyanu. Yeah.
When you read Echa.
We don't make a Shehecheyanu. That's the only Megillah. We read a Megillah from a cloth and we recite the Brachot. So we make Shehecheyanu by Shir Hashir, we make Shehecheyanu by Kohelet, Shir Hashirim, Rut, but we don't, because that's exactly, we only say Al Mikra Megillah, because we're not going to be delighted that, well, we're reading Megillah Seicha. Correct. That's exactly the proof to the pudding. So Balamor says, the reason why there is no Shehecheyanu is because it has this tinge of mourning of Avelut. It happens to be that the Balamor, this Rabbeinu Zrachi Alevi, who wrote his commentary and attack on the Rif when he was all of 17 years old, the Baal HaMor, that's why sometimes they call him HaMor HaGadol, sometimes HaMor HaKatan, depends how they looked at him at that time. So he was a brilliant guy, brilliant. And the Ramban wrote a critique of the Baal HaMor, which he called Milchamot Hashem, I'm waging God's war to defend the Rif against the critique of the Baal HaMor. So he says that's the reason why there's no Shehecheyanu. However, that might not be the only explanation. If you go to page 10 for a moment, and it's towards the bottom of the page, it's his commentary on Maseches Pesachim at the beginning. And he starts by asking, "Sho'alu harishonim, mipnei ma ein mevarchin zman al habi'ur." What do you think he's asking? Why don't you say a Shehecheyanu when bi'ur? What is bi'ur? Yeah, we make a bracha when you go to Bedikas Chametz. Al bi'ur Chametz. When's the Shehecheyanu? We didn't do that since last year. How come there's no Shehecheyanu? So he deals whatever he deals with, but then go to the next to the last line, towards the end of that, it's the third line, about eight lines before the Umikol Makom. It says Mem Mem, got it? Umikol Makom, Af Heim She'eluha Le'inyan Svirat HaOmer. They ask the same question about what? How come there's no Zman Shehecheyanu by Sfiras HaOmer? And what they answered is worthless. El Sha'ani Omer, Shesfirat HaOmer Niftarhu Bizman Shel Yom Tov. What do you think that means?
It's really just a continuation. It's Yotzei in the Bracha.
Excellent. Since I made a Shehecheyanu by Kiddush, or you with Hadlakat Neirot, the Shehecheyanu covers the mitzvah of counting the Omer as well.
For 49 days.
Which is, we only make it the Shehecheyanu the first time.
Oh.
So the first night.
So then, when we lit candles the first time of Pesach, we still make Shehecheyanu
second night of Pesach.
Oh, no, but that's something else.
That's only because it's a rebirth.
Right, yes.
But didn't we make Shehecheyanu when we ate the maror?
No.
We didn't. Okay.
I thought you'd ask the question, why then do we make a Shehecheyanu by Lulav? Why don't I say that one Shehecheyanu for the holiday is enough?
Right.
No, we don't. But anyway, that's what he answers. But according to a theory that I just shared with you for the last 10 minutes, is the counting of the Omer related to the Yom Tov of Pesach?
No.
No.
It's
related to the Korban. By mere fact that the Me'iri believes that the Shehecheyanu is covered by the Shehecheyanu which you made on candle lighting, you see that he disagrees with that premise.
Right.
He believes that what is the mitzvah of counting the Omer related to?
Time.
time.
To time. To which one? To the time of what?
Pesach.
The day after the first day of Pesach. It's related to the time, to the Yom Tov. Therefore, it doesn't need what? A Shachianu. Therefore, you come to the conclusion that he believes that it's a Zman Brahma. It's Zman Brahma. Yeah.
Maybe he's talking about the Yom Tov of Shavuot because you haven't completed the mitzvah until you've counted 7 weeks.
Okay, we never make a Shachianu on the completion of a mitzvah. We make a Shachianu the first time when you begin a mitzvah. You're not finishing the Megillah until you finish all 10 chapters of Megillah Esther. And yet we're not afraid, you know what, he's going to stop reading it after 5. You make Shachianu at the beginning.
That's what I was going to say, though, is that maybe a person isn't going to complete the whole thing.
Who cares?
And so... in a way, they aren't really complete. They're just doing like a piece of it, and maybe that's.
But Shachianu is not designed to be based on completion. Shachianu is designed to highlight, thank you, God, that I have a chance to start this mitzvah tonight. Whenever it's over, it could be over in 2 hours, or 2 days, or 2 weeks. I don't care. So you see that Meiri, based on his just 5-word answer, there is no Shechianu by Sfirat HaOmer because it is covered with the bracha of Kiddush or lighting candles. You see that in those 5 words, he disagrees with the entire theory which we suggested a couple of minutes ago, and he believes that's not true. Counting the Omer is nothing, is not triggered by the Korban Omer. It's a mitzvah of the holiday. And as a mitzvah of the holiday, it doesn't require its own Shechianu. The bracha on the holiday suffices for it. Kacha Omer HaMe'iri. Yes.
It seems that the logical follow-up, though, would be that Shavuos doesn't need its own bracha. Because really, that's just the continuation.
Excellent. That's okay. That would be a good argument for him. It would be an excellent argument against him. I would agree with you. That's why a lot of people disagree with him. Yes. Now, I want to share with you the Rav's explanation of why the Ramban felt... why the Ramban felt that it's not a mitzvah sefer zman grama, and why you must count. If you go back to page 8 for a minute, and it would be helpful if you committed to memory this chapter 23 of Sefer of the Book of Vayikra, because every holiday is based, this is called the Parsha of the Moadot. It would be a very smart thing to remember this by heart.
What?
So now, I bracketed 4 or 5 psukim. So look at the top. Bachodesh harishon ba'avasa yom lachodesh beino arbayim pesach lashem. What is the date given? What's the date? 14th of Nisan. What's that holiday called? Pesach. Next pasuk. Chamisha asa yom lachodesh hazeh. Chag HaMatzot Lashem. Good. So you have the name and the date. Excellent. Go to Pasuk 24, Chavdala. Taber Bnei Yisrael Leimor, Bachodesh HaShvi'i Be'echad Lachodesh Yerachem Shabbaton. Zichron Teruah. There is no name.
Rosh Hashanah.
It's Rosh Hashanah. Because you sound the shofar. You remember the shofar. Good. Pasuk Chav Zayin, but it gave you the date. When is Rosh Hashanah? Echad Lachodesh Hashvi'i. Yom Kippur, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Ach Be'asor Lachodesh Hashvi'i Hazeh, Yom HaKippurim Hu. When is Yom Kippur? On the 10th day of the 7th month. Third, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. B'chamisha Asar Yom Lachodesh Hashvi'i Hazeh, Chag HaSukkot. Chag HaSukkot. Very nice. What holiday has not been identified thus far?
Shavuot.
So now, you're going to have to find Shavuot. So you'll start at Pasuk Tetvav, read from yourselves, from Tetvav to Yudchet.
Okay.
That's the discussion of Shavuos. You count the Omer, starting at the day of the Omer Atzmufa. What do? You count Sheva Shabbatot to Miyotiyana, 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. And on Tisperu, on the 50th day, Chamishin Yom, what do? V'hikravten, Mincha Chadasha Lashem. That's the same Mincha Chadasha that we saw in Bamidbar chapter 28. And what do? Mimoshvotechem taviu lechem tenufa shtayim, the shtei halechem, the special two breads. Very nice. And then in Chafalot, look at Chafalot. Ukratem be'etzem hayom hazeh mikra kodesh ilachem. You shall proclaim that day is a holy day. What's missing in every one of those psukim that I spoke about? Shavuot. Doesn't say the date. The answer is, there is no date for Shavuos. What determines when Shavuos is?
Korban HaOmer.
And the counting of the Omer. Ladies and ladies, are you obligated to observe the Yom Tov of Shavuos? Of course. Said the Rav, that's why you're obligated to count the Omer. Because without counting the Omer, there is no way to reach the accurate date. In fact, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, where they sanctified the new moon based on the witnesses, they didn't have a fixed number of days in the month. Some months were 29 days. Which months were 29 days? If what happened on the night of the 30th? Somebody saw the new moon and came to Beit Din the next morning. And what would Beit Din declare it as Rosh Chodesh? But what happens after the 29th day of the previous month? It was cloudy. Nobody saw the new moon. So what happened to the next day? It became the 30th of the previous month. And Rosh Chodesh was the next month. So if you look at the end of Nisan and the end of Iyar, the beginning of Iyar and the beginning of Sivan, sometimes they both had 29 days, sometimes they both had 30 days, sometimes one had 29 days and one had 30 days. That's why the Gemara tells us that it is possible that Shavuot will be either the fifth day of the month of Sivan, the sixth day of the month of Sivan, or the seventh day of the month of Sivan, depending on how they declare the Chodesh. But we don't care what the date is, because what determines when the Yontov of Shavuos is? What determines?
The count.
One, two, three. That's where Sesame Street got it from. Counting the Omer. That's why they came up with such a crowd, character. The count. And as a result, said the Rav, that's why the Ramban says you're obligated to observe the mitzvah of counting the Omer, because you will participate with the rest of Am Yisrael in declaring that the first day of Shavuos this year will be Sunday, June the 9th. You'll be participating by your count, because you're obligated to observe the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and that's a second possible explanation. So Hayotzei Midvareinu, we start off with the Magen Avraham, who believed it's a regular mitzvah sasecheh man grama, the Mishnah Brura as well, and you're certainly not obligated under those circumstances. You can count, fine, very nice. You don't count, Eichet Nishkefela. However, the Ramban, and some say it is a mistaken scribe who just added those things, but it's dead wrong. There's no possibility that the Ramban said it. Fine. But the Ramban did say it. Two theories why the Ramban might have said it. One, counting the Omer is not linked to time. It's linked to the Korban Omer. That is supported by the fact that the majority of Rishonim believe that today the mitzvah of counting the Omer is not a biblical one; it's only rabbinic, because there is no, and it's commemorating what took place in the Mikdash. Or you can say that the reason why it's obligatory is because it enables all of Am Yisrael, Bemin included, to ultimately arrive when the Yom Tov of Shavuos is. Because it is the only holiday in the Torah for which no date is assigned. Must be that there is something else that triggers its observance, and that happens to be our participation in the counting of the Omer. Alright, we'll stop here. Next week the shiur again is Tuesday night, because the Wednesday night is the Yom HaTzmaut, community-wide observance. Hopefully more people will find out about it.